Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in. No, you're not hearing Joe Cacera's wonderful voice. You're hearing Jack Russo. Joe went on a little ski or golf vacation and tells me I could take over his studio for the afternoon. So here I am, and I welcome back. I've been so lucky to welcome back Steve King, who's the CEO of Uber ConnectForce. And really, this is a plan to talk about Uber ConnectForce and what you've learned as part of the Starting Something series. Steve came on early. I'm Jack Russo, managing partner of Computer Law Group. Steve came on early in the series that we've put together about starting something. We're probably at number 28 or 29 now. And Steve came on somewhere in the 10 or 11th show to talk about what he was doing to start that company. And now, literally 6 months later, I've welcomed you back to talk about the ride, because it is a ride, right?
Yeah, it's been a great ride.
So tell us first a little bit about the background of Uber ConnectForce and what it does again, and then for those who are just joining in, you can go back to that other show, but we'll build on that.
Yeah, okay. So Uber ConnectForce is a service that outsources sales development for companies that are in the B2B space who don't want to spend the money or take the time and go through the headaches of building their own sales development organization, or startups who don't want to burn the cash to get to product market fit or to figure out whether they've got the right message and the right market to attack with their product. We're able to get there 10 times faster than through conventional sales development processes. And the biggest problem that sales organizations have today is in keeping the top of the pipeline full.
So we see that all the time at Computer Law Group. A group will come in, they've invented something wonderful, and they have no idea of how to get it out to the market, or even if it's perfectly right for the market, that notion of product market fit. So tell me, how do you get that 10x speed? Because they're often wondering, what do we have to change to make it acceptable? And it takes sometimes forever to finally get the feedback, and then often you're already out of money, particularly if you've already hired salespeople, before you can sell anything.
Yeah, so we use a technology platform called Connect and Sell, which is the market leader in telecommunications rapid dial technology. And it's a combination of people and a patented technology that enables us to get a connected call with a prospect transferred to a salesperson within 0.2 seconds. So there's no delay, and the person that you're trying to reach does not think it's a marketing call. So that technology allows us to dial through thousands of prospect names and contacts in a very short period of time, and connect our sales reps with the prospects they're trying to reach.
So you've been at this for how many, about 6 months now?
We launched in the summer of this year. So, yeah, technically it's December is our 6th month. We've been fortunate enough to sign 8 clients in that period of time across 8 different unique market segments. So everything from cybersecurity to healthcare to real estate services to federal compliance.
And so you're eating your own dog food, as people like to say, to make this happen?
We sure do. We regularly do about 4,000 dials a day in trying to reach the contacts that we've established as our ideal customer profile. And those are, again, startup companies, early stage companies, and companies that look like our most successful customers. And those are typically people struggling with that, keeping the top of the funnel full.
So how do you deal with people like my daughter, a millennial, daughters, plural, millennials? They don't pick up the phone anymore. They don't want to answer the phone. They're like, phone is for old people. What do you say to those people?
Right. Well, no one picks up the phone anymore, and no one answers emails anymore, and that's why it's so difficult to build your own inside sales organization, because you're relying upon these older technologies or people sitting at a desk trying to dial a number over and over and over again.
Right.
The technology that we use randomizes the from number that they're calling from. We have area codes all over the country. Because it's human assisted, we don't fall into the compliance trap of robocalls.
Right.
Robocalls are entirely computer generated, so our calling system is a combination of humans and technology. Right. And the reason why there are humans involved is because we don't believe in leaving voicemails.
Okay.
No one ever responds to voicemails. So we have humans monitoring the call so that when Jack answers the phone, we can discern between
right.
Jack's real live voice
right.
and Jack's voicemail voice. And once we get the live voice, we transfer the call immediately.
So, the insight I just had, it's funny, I never thought of this before. It may be the reason millennials like podcasts is they can listen in to what's the equivalent of a phone call or meeting without having to participate and without having to drop their device, because they can watch their device as they're listening to a podcast.
Well, the irony is that the average age of a sales development rep mm-hmm. is 23. Mm-hmm. And since they fall right into the millennial bandwidth, one of the things that millennials don't, as you mentioned, don't care too much for is human contact
right.
when it's not
right.
necessary. And so if you have a sales development rep who's 23 years old trying to make outbound cold calls
right.
to people that will, 90 times out of 95
right.
reject them, it's kind of a nasty combination.
Well, another interesting footnote is I was at a dinner last night. I was the youngest person. I felt so young. Everyone at the dinner was like in their 70s, 80s, or 90s. No one had a device open. Every table around us in this restaurant, younger kids with devices, and it was an expensive restaurant, younger kids, devices open, and everyone around our table, we were completely bonded in the moment talking about some big ideas. No devices open. And we were noting, compared to the other tables, we were having a lot more fun because people were interacting with each other face-to-face, no devices open. And we were saying the art of conversation may be lost here. The art of conversation may be totally lost. And, of course, one of the waiters came over and said, it's so much harder waiting on those tables where people have their device open because they're not even looking at the menu. So they don't even get their order ready. The guy says it takes me far longer to deal with them because they're, so disorganized. As a group, you decide because you become a group. And maybe we're starting to lose that art, but Uber Connect Force still believes very much in phone and face-to-face and talking to people, right?
Yeah, it's impossible to sell anything of value over email or over the web.
Although Amazon thinks they can sell anything, right, online, right?
Yeah, but that you're buying something that you already understand and know,
right.
and you've done your research and so forth. You're not buying an enterprise solution to,
right.
to ERP or cybersecurity
right.
or something. Right?
So what are some of the things that surprised you along the way over the last 6 months, because that inevitably is what I hear from lots of founders and people that are doing startups, I thought it was going to be X, but it really turned out to be Y, or it turned out to be Z, or it was completely different than what I thought. Anything surprise you along the way?
Yeah, I expected, and I've been in the space for a long time, and I've been in particular in the list service space for
yes.
the last 12 years, and I expected that with current technologies, the quality of the lists would have been better. Actually, they've gotten worse.
Worse.
So,
when people buy lists that they pay whatever they pay per entry, they might be getting a lot of garbage.
27 to 35 cents to 50 cents per contact.
Right.
30 to 45% of it is garbage. Right?
Wow.
So it's the wrong phone number. It's a wrong email address. The person doesn't have that job anymore.
Right.
It's somebody else's job, and the person
right.
doesn't even work for the company anymore, but now you have their cell phone, but they're doing something entirely different. So what happens is you spend a tremendous amount of time, 30 to 50% of that time that you would be otherwise spending productively reaching your prospects, reaching people that aren't your prospects, and then culling through all of that. And as you can imagine, that's an incredibly unproductive business to be in.
So has it surprised you that technology hasn't done anything to improve the quality of that information?
Well, it just did. And
literally
just did. In the last few months, we partnered with a technology company that is has a AI-enabled networking or contact development capability that we refer to as prospect intelligence. And so what it does is it has over 130 separate signal components that it maps against a database of 1.3 billion contacts.
And wait a minute, there's only like 8 billion people on the planet. So
they have 1.3 billion of them. They do, yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
America is only 300 million people, right? Isn't it?
Yeah,
supposedly
360 or something,
right?
Isn't it? Yeah.
But so it's got throughout the world, you're saying.
This is global.
Global.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
1.3 billion.
Right.
So business-oriented people, is that what that represents?
These are all B2B these are people in the B business world,
okay,
right? So they're people that you would normally think of as prospects for whatever it is you're trying to sell into that B2B space. And each one of these people are characterized across this 130 component categorization. So everything from hardware budget, software budget, when it was funded, what round of funding it was, how much funding they took in.
So it sounds like more information than Facebook has.
Oh, like way more information than anybody has. Because when you go to a traditional list broker, what you're getting is company name, a contact name, a title, a telephone number, and an email address. And that's all you're getting. And you've given that list broker a specification that says, I want, you know, manufacturing companies in North America that are under $1 billion in revenue and you know, employ between 200 and 500 people.
Right.
And I want to talk to the, you know, director of IT or something. And that's the list you get back.
Because they run a search and they subset out their data.
They run a search on open databases. Yes. Those open databases are basically government-sourced data that's generated as a function of SIC codes.
Okay.
Right? So that, and it's usually self-categorizing. So when you fill out a form as you have before, I'm sure in your business, the question was, you know, which of these categories does your business fit in? And you can never find one, rarely find one that actually fits well. And so, you know, you say manufacturing, that means a different thing to different people. So that's what you typically get. This way, what you get is, for example, if you had success selling in the past to a company that just raised an angel round and, you know, took in $250,000 within the last 90 days, right? And you said, here's my ideal customer profile.
Find more like that.
And it goes out and finds 5,000 other companies that are exactly like that.
Okay.
Right? But the real magic happens on the second iteration. So you take that initial list and you start calling against it and you find somebody that says, yeah, that's interesting to me. I want to meet and talk about it, right? That's a success match.
Yes.
You send that success match back into that engine and it regenerates a list again.
Okay.
Now
it
amplifies the signals that matched between the ICP, the ideal customer profile that you provided initially, and this new prospect that signed up to at least take a meeting with you.
Okay.
So the signals that match get amplified. The signals that don't match get suppressed.
Okay.
So that the new list is, by definition, so much more precise than the original list.
So it's like having a marksman scope on your rifle, where you really are getting tuned right into the target.
Right. You miss the first time and you adjust for the wind and then you get closer the second time.
So how is this helping Uber Connect Force in its mission?
Like, so what it does is it gives us so we're much more successful in reaching the ideal customer profile for our customers, right? Instead of just this sort of blanket, you know, I want to talk to all of the, you know, HR directors in, you know, public companies in Northern California or something, right? Instead of that, we're able to target based upon all of those 130 different criteria against the original successful.
So would this work, for example, you know, we as lawyers, things are dramatically changing for lawyers. Lawyers, years, decades ago, I'm getting old, there was no such thing as advertising. It was outlawed by the state bar. And then the Supreme Court came in a series of cases and said, no, there's a commercial speech First Amendment right. And that changed the game. That's how you began to see billboards on freeways that have personal injury lawyers and TV commercials. And, of course, there are many law firms that, you know, were against this. But by and large, most law firms have drunk the Kool-Aid and they have websites. They have brochures. They have marketing materials. They do advertise. And now they're playing with, should I do some things beyond that? Could this work? Could a law firm hire, for example, Uber ConnectForce, sure, and say, my ideal client is a startup company that was just funded and that needs a lawyer to help them get through growth, get to the growth stage, or go beyond where they're going?
Absolutely, and we also know how many patents were filed by these companies as well. So if you were in the IP space,
yes,
you could say, I want somebody that's filed less than two patents since they're
okay.
funding or something.
So you can actually pull all that data and help refine the target.
Sure.
Even for a professional that kind of doesn't understand this stuff but would like more leads, would like to meet more clients, although most lawyers just think, hey, the phone rings and I'm happy to pick it up and...
Well, part of the secret sauce, if you will, for what
yes.
we do is we spend a lot of time with our customers trying to help them do things like define who that
yes.
ideal
yes.
customer profile is.
And you must find people are mainly confused about what they do and how to communicate.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Must make you laugh. I've only been doing this for 40 years, but I can't really tell you what I'm doing or what I'm trying to do, but it seems to work.
Well, I mean, I can give you lots of examples, but the cybersecurity client that's mm-hmm. been around quite a while, and
mm-hmm.
They wanted to go to market with a cybersecurity product that they thought appealed to the small banking community, and we kind of knew right away that probably wasn't going to work,
mm-hmm.
and so we kind of helped them by guiding them to a different market segment that actually did get them some traction.
But you could test with some number of these 4,000 a day calls?
Yeah, we can. It can be costly to
mm-hmm.
do that. So any A-B test, right?
Yes.
So you're duplicating the effort to, and I'm not sure... You know, the question is, how much value am I going to get out of that
right.
for the price, right?
Right?
So, because for every 100 calls you do on this side, you have to do another 100 on this side. Then you've got to test the result. And the problem is, it's hard to isolate variables, too,
right?
So there's a lot of other elements at play.
Right.
So it is difficult to A-B test this stuff, too. It's a lot of gut. There's a lot of, you know, been doing this for 40 years in a lot of different industries. And so, you know, we kind of have a good sense of what works and what doesn't. You know?
So it sounds like you're doing more than just providing kind of a sales force innovation team. Sounds like you're doing some marketing and even some PR type
communication. Well, we key here is in getting the right message for the right audience.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two separate challenges. Who is the right audience and what is the right message? And, you know, it takes a lot of work to get there, and most companies have no idea, frankly, whether they have the right message or not. And
mm-hmm.
And one of the challenges is they often think they do, and it turns out it's not really the case.
Well,
and they may not be selling to the right people.
I've had a lot of people come to me and say, well, all you need is a CRM system. Why don't you just get a CRM system like what Salesforce makes? And I keep saying, that's just a bookkeeping system. That's for someone to type some notes of what the outcome of the sales interaction was, right?
Yes,
but
essentially.
So, mm-hmm. like, how do you think of that whole area? Salesforce.com has obviously done immensely well. CRM seems to be a standard that everyone has to have. It's almost like if you don't have it, you're not really serious about doing any sort of sales activities.
Well, so the CRM does is it automates a lot of sales back-end record-keeping process,
yes.
right? I shouldn't say back-end. I said more front-end record-keeping process because it's recording, if you're doing it properly, you're recording the results of every sales activity that you have
right.
throughout the day.
Right.
And then you've got a history to, and then you use another tool that is a sequencing tool or a call cadence tool to remind you when to make the next whatever outreach to that prospect. And so it served a really significant role in sales process automation. But we've gotten to the point where there are a lot of tools now. I think at last count there were over 650 separate sales tools in the sales tech stack. So try to imagine A, sorting through those to figure out which ones I actually need and can use in my sales organization, but then it also turns out that the average number of tools that a sales rep has installed is between 5 and 6.
Okay.
So you've got CRM, then you've got 5 to 6 other sales right. tools on top right. of it that you're using.
Right.
And studies have been done that say that the combined improvement to actual selling results of those 5 to 6 tools is like 5%. So you've invested in 5 to 6 tools mm-hmm. to get a 5% improvement in your overall sales results. And the downside is that the amount of effort and maintenance required to use those 5 or 6
right.
tools reduces the actual time of selling to 30%.
Ouch.
Yeah. So the average sales rep is actually, I think the number is 34%, spends 34% of their available time actually selling, and the rest of it is screwing around with LinkedIn and Navigator and Salesforce and
plus they lose some
Market
time
two
with the wrong phone numbers and the incomplete data on top of
well,
this.
Well, you've got a data problem
right.
underneath that.
That's
right.
On
that,
top of this
34%. Or rather on top of that.
Because
yeah.
you're saying this is like the 34% of just getting the computer to work and the stuff.
No, the 34% is actually me trying to sell you something.
Right.
Right. The,
right.
the 60, whatever it is, 66% then is spent combing through LinkedIn, trying to
yes.
clean data up
yes.
so you've got the right direct dial
yes.
for the right prospect and,
right.
you know, da 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 da.
So that's where Uber Connect Force comes in to say, make your salespeople actually spend more of their time selling
right.
because we can arrange the meetings or arrange the phone calls.
We can give you better data
mm-hmm.
because now we're using this AI-enabled
mm-hmm.
capability. We already have a sales stack of our own that we know how to use.
Of the sales tech.
Of the sales tech. And then we've got the two core technologies, again, Connect and Sell, to do that rapid dialing that
mm-hmm.
you can't do yourself. And we've got the AI-enabled contact database now that it probably is at least 5x as accurate and precise as a list that you might be using yourself or a list that you might be building yourself, right? Because Sales Navigator is not an inexpensive product. And
right.
most sales guys now use Sales Navigator to find the right prospects and figure out who else is in the buying committee and
but
all
you would
of
say that was
stuff.
A bad use of their time.
I think it's a terrible use of their time.
That should be delegated.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And
you look at the market data is all the same.
Hmm.
The three top problems that all sales organizations face are cost. It costs too much. Productivity is terrible because of the 30
yes.
whatever percent.
Yes.
And the performance is terrible. You know, the average SDR, 66% of the sales development reps
yes.
do not make quota.
The interesting thing that just went through my head as you were giving those numbers is I saw an American Bar Association report that said lawyers, on average, even though they're in the office, some of them 10 hours a day, they actually only productively bill a client for about a third of their in-office time. That is, they're actually doing knowledge work just about 3.3 hours of a 10-hour day. Some of them put in way more than 10.
No, no.
And they get burnt out. They're doing a lot of stuff that supports the job, but should be delegated, which is why you would say we have a secretarial class and a law clerk class and classes of individuals that do this work. We have computers that's supposed to help, but then again, computers require people to reboot them and do a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And there's lots of distractions, as
right.
we know. These devices have created lots of distractions. So I'm curious, when you read books, and there's one that I sent to you by Professor Harari about 21 rules for the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
where he's predicting a lot of people will be without jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the sales function would get so automated by robots to actually change the way the world sells, or is that always going to be a human occupation in your mind?
No, I think the actual selling will always be a human occupation. Now, there are good arguments for scheduling. There's good arguments for capturing inbound leads.
Yes.
That people, you know, the buyer journey is very different since the internet. So most buyers have done a lot of their homework before they ever want to talk to a sales rep. And then when they reach into, let's say they've identified, you know, XYZ company, they reach into XYZ and, you know, ask for some help with, you know, their whatever they're doing.
Right.
That all can be handled by a bot. That bot
yes.
can be very convivial in its
yes.
expression online, and it can set that appointment.
Yes.
We see that today. All those technologies are available today, and most companies use them, and set that appointment. But you know, and then there are a lot of companies trying to push the envelope so that the bot is actually taking that initial appointment
yes.
and doing qualification stuff. But I think we're still quite a ways from the point where that bot can actually transfer over into
right.
a full sales development role. The art of the sale is still the art of the sale. It is an art form, and you know, I just don't see AI getting to the place where it can do that anytime soon.
Well, that's good news for all these
it's good news for a lot of yes,
salespeople, and loan brokers.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
No, I always say it's about what I call the speed of trust,
mm-hmm.
which is the reason lawyers have to have a law office, and there are lawyers that disagree with me on this, is you have to have a place to meet the client where the client says, this guy or gal is going to be here tomorrow. Because he or she has an office with people, with machines, and they're mm-hmm. here. They're making a career out of this. This is not just a gig. And then they have to feel comfortable that they can work with you to get done what needs to be done. And often it's a very complex goal or a very complex situation with maybe a simple goal but a complex path to get there. And if you don't have a good experience with the trust that you're developing in person, the odds are it's the wrong person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Better interview someone else.
We all make those decisions based upon the same behavioral sciences. I mean,
right.
this is not new science, right? So we all look for all of the signals why we should do some business with somebody. If they're not there and, you know, we don't do business with that person, it's going to be hard to want to do business with a bot all the way through the entire sales process.
But it's getting harder and harder to reach people to even start the conversation that engenders the trust.
Well, and that's why Connect and Sell is doing as well as it's doing as a company, and that's why we use that technology and are able to get to prospects that are impossible to get to 10 to 12 times faster than you can sit picking up a phone.
So you're wrapping up your first 6 months, and you start a brand new year in just a few days because we're right after Christmas and right before the new year. What are your big resolutions for what you'd like to see happen with Uber Connect Force going into 2019?
Well, one of the other lessons learned, if you will, is that all of the the startup experts typically, and for good reason, say, you know, don't pivot off of your initial deal until you've got traction, until you're built a referenceable ARR, et cetera, et cetera. But we found another vertical that it actually looks so much similar to the sales vertical that it was easy to pivot over to, and we've had tremendous success with it just so far.
And not even pivot, add on to it.
I'm sorry.
Add on, right?
Add on. Yeah, yeah.
And what is that?
I say pivot.
Yes.
And it is the recruitment or talent acquisition space where you look for disruption opportunities.
Yes.
And the portion of the recruitment space that's been done the same way for the last 20 years is the sourcing space.
Where it's very broken, though.
Where you hire, well, it doesn't work very well.
Right.
I mean, you
right.
hire somebody. Here's how that's typically
yeah.
done. The recruiting
yes.
department hires a contract sourcer, that person, and then they give them a $9,000 LinkedIn recruiter license.
Yes.
And they crawl through LinkedIn looking for candidates for yeah. a difficult to fill position. And they do that by hand.
Yes.
Right? And we're able to do that using that same AI-enabled
right.
list creation technology in 24 hours.
Well, it's the right? same so targeting and same selling function, different data.
But it's exactly the same thing.
Same
Instead
thing.
Of an ideal customer profile, you're
right.
looking for an ideal candidate profile, right?
right?
And so the person that we're going to find in that 1.3 billion person database is the
right.
exact same person. It just happens to be a senior software engineer who we want to pull in and hand over to a recruiter
right.
than, you know, some buyer for whatever your B2B product is.
But so, you would say by analogy that the really innovative real estate brokers, because this is a real estate program and probably more real estate people listen to it, they could arguably use the same tool to target homeowners that are getting older, thinking about retiring, getting to the point where they're thinking about selling their house. And they can literally introduce themselves through the process, the same process you're describing.
Yeah, absolutely,
right?
absolutely.
Same targeting,
sure.
same refinement, same initial calling, same follow-up calling with a lot of automation
sure.
into the mix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you would say, hey, if you reach out to 1,000 homeowners that are all husband and wife or various owners are over 60 years old, there probably will be 50 to 100 that will say, yeah, we'd like to hear what the value of our house was or is. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about maybe it's time to downsize.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And it's a great use case for what we do.
But you would say that's over and over again true, which is there's lots of professions where it's the same getting the data, making sure it's really good data, using it for targeting, then using sales innovation, such as Uber Connect Force, to delegate getting to the right people so you're not wasting your time with a lot of cold calls
exactly.
that don't go anywhere.
Exactly, and we can accelerate that whole process by orders of magnitude.
So let's end on a note, which is what are the typical things you've heard from customers that are potential customers that are, I'm not ready, I don't know if I can do this. Like, what's the pushback that you get? Because it certainly sounds like people can get much more efficiency out of this through this kind of outsourcing.
The major pushback we get are from people who want to continue doing it the traditional way. They want to hire a couple of inside sales reps. They want to direct their activities. They want to own the messaging themselves. They want to own the people that are delivering the messaging, et cetera, et cetera.
So it's a control thing. It's more of a control
thing. It's more of a status quo thing.
Okay.
I think people don't like change.
They don't like change. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we've got the end of our show for the end of the year. Any final remarks you want to make about Uber Connect Force and then give people your contact information?
Yeah, sure. Well, uberconnectforce.com is the easiest place to find us. If you're interested in talent acquisition, it's uberconnectsource.com.
It's the same company.
Same company, okay. Yeah.
And you're the CEO.
And I'm the CEO.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's steve@uberconnectforce.com.
steve@uberconnectforce.com.
And you'll even pick up the phone.
I will pick up the phone.
Why don't you give your phone number, because that's always good.
I do it all day long. My direct cell phone number is 505-795-8855.
Okay, great. So this is Jack Russo, Computer Law Group, www.computerlaw.com, jack@computerlaw.com. And you can reach me at 650-327-9800. I want to thank Joe for having me take his time slot here. Thanks, Steve, for coming, and wish you a happy
pleasure.
New Year.
Thank you.
And hopefully when Joe listens to this, he'll have a big smile and say, boy, you know, they ran right through it. They didn't even take a break, and they delivered a lot of good content that even some real estate brokers can use, which would be great.
That would be
or
great.
Or real estate developers, for that matter. Anyway, thanks very much.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.